From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio in the Umpqua Valley, widespread haze this afternoon and looking for conditions in the 70s. And tonight, partly cloudy skies, more haze in the forecast as well. 68 degrees right now, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Checking in today with State Representative David Brock Smith, who joins us. Good afternoon. Thanks for being on.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
So, first of all, let's talk about something you put out just a few days ago regarding vaccination and some of the requirements and also some folks getting COVID-19 after being vaccinated. You put out a release last week. Tell us more about your thoughts.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I was a vaccinated individual back in April with the opportunity that the legislature and staff had to get vaccinated. Was in actually Roseburg back on the weekend of the 7th for an outdoor gathering and contracted COVID. It was not a good experience, even though vaccinated. It was touch and go over the weekend whether or not I was going to need additional care. I got through it using naturopathic zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, lots of fluids and rest. I still have some issues because as a smoker and about 40 pounds overweight, I have still some respiratory fatigue, but I'm getting through it. But I have to say that with all the data that we have been able to look at and what is emerging from this new strain or the Delta variant strain of the disease, with its viral load being upwards of 1,000 times greater than the original COVID strain, that the vaccine did work in, of course, not preventing me from getting COVID, but I believe it did work from preventing me to have further health disabilities from the viral load. And, of course, what occurs with that respiratory issues.
And what was it like to go through that process?
It was a horrible experience. I mean, it was worse than any flu that I ever had. The headache the scary thing of not being able to catch your breath is something that I don't want anybody to have to go through. That said, my press release was slamming the governor for mandated vaccines. We shouldn't be mandating medical choices, let alone mandating medical choices based on profession. Where does it end? Are we going to mandate that employers for frontline workers have vaccinations? I believe in the choice of medical freedom, and I believe in making sure that our constituents and residents of Oregon listen to their physicians, but also have the utmost and all information at their disposal to make their informed decisions on what they want to do for themselves and their family.
Having gone through all of this, if you could back up and see what has taken place, would you still get vaccinated?
Yes. I made the choice early on to get vaccinated, and I have older parents, and they made their choice to get vaccinated as well. But that's, again, my choice, just as it is anyone's choice. I fear that, we already have, and we're reading the reports, and I know I can't tell you how many healthcare facilities that I have in my district, as well as convalescent homes and homes for the elderly, that people are dying, and the medical individuals, that the nurses and doctors are performing heroic efforts. But to force, to have the governor force them to get vaccinated is horrific. It's if they choose not to get vaccinated, that is their body and their choice to do so. And everyone should have all the necessary information to make the informed decision. But I can tell you, going through COVID as a vaccinated individual and learning and reading all that I can, that I believe that the vaccine did work in the fact that it did not allow the Delta variant strain to have the viral load as it did, as the vaccine is meant to have those antibodies ready to go to prevent the rapid spread and multiplication of those viral loads so that your body, in essence, doesn't start attacking itself.
What kind of feedback have you heard from constituents about some of the new mandates for state school workers, for healthcare workers, and others?
Horrible feedback. The outcry from forcing state employees, teachers, healthcare professionals to get vaccinated has been incredible. That they all believe that they should have their choice in what they put in their body, and I support them 120%. We all need to make our own informed decisions, but having the governor mandate vaccinations based on profession is a horrible idea. And let me go one further, Kyle. My concern is we already have a toll when it comes to this virus across the economic spectrum and health spectrum in the state. As my press release talked about, is where has the efforts been on increasing the healthcare capacity in the state, considering that the Kaiser Foundation did a study back in 18 that was republished in December of 2020 that shows that we have per capita the least number of hospital beds in the state, in the country. Yet there has been no discussion about increasing the healthcare capacity in the state. But when we talk about the unfortunate politics involved the vaccination mandates, I fear, and I'm just playing a hypothetical devil's advocate here, that a lot of our medical freedom individuals and folks that want their choice in vaccinations are rural teachers or state workers or healthcare professionals. And I fear that there's politics involved where the governor might feel that rather than allowing personal choice when it comes to vaccinations, these individuals, if they're forced to take a vaccine and choose not to and lose their employment, will be forced to move out of the state in order to gain employment. And those are the political realities that I can't help but think of when the governor is trying to mandate vaccines.
With the Delta variant kicking the COVID case levels way up, what about your thoughts in terms of its impact on the overall business community in Oregon?
Well, it has a horrible impact. I can tell you that when the Delta strain, I was in Portland after for business that week, and when the Delta strain started coming out, restaurants were at half capacity. I'm glad, after trying to move forward a piece of legislation that I called the COVID Business Equity Act that we've talked on your program before, that Democrats failed to move, that would have allowed some equity across the business spectrum and the governor's mandate, that individuals are, they are regulating themselves. I was in Costco in Roseburg last Saturday, after former Representative Leaf's memorial service. And it was the first time that I can remember that I walked directly up to the checkout line without having to wait in line in the afternoon on a weekend. And so people are scared. And they're scared for good reason, because this disease and its ability to be transmitted is great. And they need to take cautions, but they still need to be able to go on with their daily lives. And the rhetoric coming out of the leadership, the Democrat leadership and legislators in Portland, tweeting about mandatory vaccines to go out to dinner or mandatory vaccines to go about your everyday life is ridiculous and horrific in my mind.
Going to take a break. More with State Representative David Brock Smith when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246. It's Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. We're working on putting together a fire update from the fires up the north Umpqua and in southern Douglas County. Still have that in motion and hoping to have that on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. State Representative David Brock Smith is with us right now. Want to move a different direction. One of the announcements that came out yesterday involved the redistricting meetings that are going to be coming up. Those now moving virtual as the House Speaker and the Senate President cited the current COVID-19 situation. But whether they're virtual or whether they would have been in person, had things been a little bit different. We've talked before about just how important this redistricting process is.
No, redistricting is the most critically important process that is occurring now. We have a special session at the end of next month. The redistricting committee, which is an equally shared committee on the Republican House side, where we have co-chairs, Shelley Bothart Davis being the Republican co-chair there, is it's so important that we make sure that everyone is informed about this redistricting and how it works and how important it is to draw those lines in Oregon.
And what are your thoughts about how this, how or where this sixth federal seat is going to be carved out?
Well, we don't know. We know that it's part of the committee's job to try to carve out that congressional seat. They're going to be taking some from the five congressional seats that we already have to decide where that's going to go. There's lots of options on how they're going to do it. I just want to encourage you, we have the opportunity, every individual in Oregon has the opportunity to look at what those maps are going to look like and build your own map. If you go to www.oregonlegislature.gov/redistricting, it takes you to the website to where you can get the agendas, where you can sign up to testify. I can tell you Congressional District 4, their virtual meeting is going to be at 5:30 on Friday, September 10th. I encourage everyone to attend these meetings and watch and learn and provide input on where these lines are going to be drawn so that we don't have the gerrymandering that has occurred in the past, and that we can have lines that are fair and balanced across the various regions of the state that have equitable chances for individuals to be elected that represent their communities, and not these gerrymandered lines that give the Democrats the advantage.
Going back to the business community, everyone can tell a lot of businesses struggling to get workers right now. Where are we at in Oregon on extended unemployment? What changes do you think should be made?
I think that we need to go back to what it was years ago, where if you are able to work, you can't just press 9 when collecting your unemployment benefits on the phone, and that you need to be able to actually input where you've searched for work so that with the number of employment individuals working within the employment department now. They can follow up with that business to make sure that the individual that is searching for work is technically searching for work, and so that we can get back people back to work. Our businesses are struggling to find employees, especially when it comes to our hospitality industry businesses, especially when it comes to COVID, because individuals are catching the virus and therefore they're out of work. I know businesses that have closed part-time, that have cut their hours back because they just don't have the employees that they need to stay open.
We've seen a number of restaurants here in the Umpqua Valley and other businesses, too, have to drop a shift, maybe be open less days a week, things like that. And the combination of the COVID factors and the lack of folks working due to the extended unemployment really having a huge impact around here.
Oh, it's a huge impact. But let's shift back this conversation back to these mandated vaccines. Kyle, you're in a situation where we already have issues with healthcare providers in the state, and you're going to mandate vaccines on the current healthcare providers that are already in crisis when it comes to being able to have the needed individuals to cover the shifts in our hospitals. The same with our teachers. You have a situation where I just in my district over here in Port Orford Langlois School District just lost a second grade teacher weeks before school starts. It's going to be very difficult to find another teacher to do so. And you're going to have a mass exodus from these very critical teaching, healthcare, firefighters, and other state employees that see the expanded vaccine mandates. You're going to cripple and industries that are already struggling.
What about now that we're into a new fiscal year, your thoughts on how things have come out on the state budget?
Well, I'm disappointed that we weren't able, and the governor line item vetoed an additional $200 million for education in this state. The budget passed a $500 million investment in behavioral health statewide. I have been looking at how we can bring those dollars back to Southern Oregon. Senator Hurd and former Representative Leaf, but now Representative Goodwin for House District 2. It's critically important that these dollars that have been allocated in the last legislative session don't all go to Portland and Salem and Eugene in their urban areas. As we know, we have serious behavioral mental health issues in our communities, and we need those resources in rural Oregon more so than they need in urban Oregon. And so right now, with what's been allocated and money for workforce housing as well, we need to make sure that we can bring back some of those resources to our rural communities.
Are you already working on any legislation for the next session of the legislature?
Not yet, but there's always ideas. We were able to get $2 million for my statewide meat processing grant program that we've talked about on your show before, but we really needed 10. And so now more than ever, I don't know if you, I know individuals, especially our restaurant business owners, have noticed the issues with regards to supply chain and especially protein. The ability to have our local ranchers be able to have access to inspected processing facilities so that they can get their local beef to be able to market commercially is more important than ever, so that our public has access to fresh local protein. So there's thoughts there about how we can expand that program, but you're only allowed two pieces of legislation in the short session coming up next year, which is a good thing. But I haven't decided on what those are going to be yet.
All right, State Representative David Brock Smith giving us an update. Out of time for now. We'll talk again in a bit. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, sir.
1257 and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.